Okay. Ayan, nasa na. Hello everybody and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast that's also a video. I'm Red.
I'm Arnie Thompson.
And today we're talking about something that's very important but not a lot of people are aware of. Recently, the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the cybercrime law, but like they struck down certain provisions, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to demystify and answer the common questions about the cybercrime law and how it affects us, what should we do about it. So let's start with what actually happened. So what are the things that the Supreme Court
struck down?
Yeah.
It upheld a bit the cyber libel provisions. What it struck down was the provision that would make cyber libel apply to reposting, retweeting.
Mm. So the common concerns that just by sharing or retweeting, you could become an accomplice to e-libel, those were struck down.
Yes, but as pointed out in the concurring and dissenting opinion of Justice Marvick Leonen, he said that it's not that clear.
Hmm.
Because you can actually retweet tweet or repost something, and you would just put an innocuous statement like this, then in effect you're actually restating the whole thing.
Hmm.
So there has to be context that you have to apply. And
yeah.
if you're a lawyer and you have a client that says this guy is libeling me, you just don't say, oh, we can't use that because he didn't use enough words. If I'm the lawyer for the guy who wants me to file a libel suit, I'd look for context. I would look at the entire online conversation.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't just tell him, forget about it, the cybercrime law wouldn't apply.
So it's still ambiguous. Like we thought that this would be clarified by the Supreme Court, but it turns out that the fears of the, you know, the law being at the hands of whatever judge has your case. Like
yes.
If the judge is more for freedom of expression and against libel, then they would side with you.
Yes.
But if he happens to be in a bad mood, then he'll be against you. And this raises the same concerns of it being a sleeper clause. Like if the president happens to become someone who's not for freedom of expression, then the freedoms of expression aren't guaranteed. So the problem is still there, in your opinion.
Yes. Actually, I have to clarify that since I'm a petitioner, I'm still under the sub judice rule because we're still filing. But I could safely say that we are going to cite the dissenting opinion of Justice Leonen.
Yes.
And that's precisely what we just talked about. He said that the nuance is not that clear.
So
you have to look for the context. And that's something that the majority opinion did not get.
Yes, yes. So we are both members of the Philippine Internet Freedom Alliance. You're welcome to join us, by the way, at pifa.ph, please, and just to be updated on all the developments. And we are going to do some things, like a motion for reconsideration. Those are the things that we'll do. We'll continue to raise awareness about this issue. And so far, like the issue that still sticks out for us is the e-libel. Like, and we'll get back to this in a bit before we end this podcast. But let's talk about the other provisions that were once concerned. So the provisions on monitoring, you know, the data, and what about those?
Cyber surveillance. We're actually glad that Section 12 on real-time collection of traffic data was struck down.
Mm.
And as for the takedown clause.
Yes, okay. That one is also a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, but then even the Solicitor General gave that up from the very beginning.
Yes,
he
yes.
said we're not defending it because we too believe it's wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So that was one thing even before the decision came. Yeah.
In that sense, we were already partida.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the problem there is that in Section 12, that's the real-time collection of traffic data, that's only one part of a slew of provisions on cyber surveillance. You have 13, you have 14, and I think even 15. I can't recall exactly which ones these are, but these are the ones that deal with the preservation of data.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem there is that you're going to force third parties, meaning the ISPs, okay, the internet service providers, you're going to force them to work for the government.
Yes.
Okay. So the difficulty with this is that if you're an ISP, you're a third party, you wouldn't want your business to be bothered.
Yeah.
So if the government wants something and I have to depend on the government to allow me to work with the franchise, then I'm going to give it to them. So if they say, okay, can you keep your data or the stuff is getting posted for more than 2 months, the real businessman would say, of course, yes. Because you could pull the plug on me at any time. So that's the danger. Section 12 is an obvious, it's a no-brainer. Being able to look into traffic data, that's snooping.
Yes. Okay.
The problem with the other sections, it's a form of snooping. Well, not really form of snooping. It helps snooping by the government.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that with the revelations of Snowden, well, I guess we're going to include this in the motion for recon. Snowden revealed last year that there's the Five Eyes surveillance network, wherein you have the US, Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand forming the Five Eyes network.
Yeah.
And the problem there is that even if our national security agency would say, "Oh, we're not yet using the law. We're not snooping on anyone yet."
Yet.
Yeah, but the problem there is that you already have these other countries doing it for them. Because we have to remember that that's the reason why in Germany, Angela Merkel was so angry. Because she found out, Angela Merkel is the head of Germany, she found out that she was being spied upon by the US. So Angela Merkel, Brazil, so that's Germany and Brazil, they helped form last year the UN resolution on the right to privacy in the digital age. It was specifically created as a reaction to the Five Eyes network.
Yeah.
And our problem there is that according to one of the Snowden leaks, one of the more active embassies in the Five Eyes network is the Australian embassy here in Manila.
So what you are saying is that there are already signs of the Five Eyes network here in the Philippines, and it's in the Australian embassy here.
Yes.
So, you know, when SOPA, when PIPA, when it became an issue, that's around the time that the cybercrime law also kind of became an issue here. And the fears have been that we are headed in that direction.
Yes.
Do you think that we are?
Yes, definitely. The problem there is that these Five Eyes nations in the Five Eyes network are already doing the snooping business for their allies.
Yeah.
Okay. And
does that include us?
Yes.
So, okay.
So what happens is they're already snooping on Filipinos, and the Philippine government is free to ask for their help.
So it's kind of a disingenuous thing when the Philippine government is saying, "We're not snooping on you."
Yes.
Our friends are.
Yes,
our friends are. And even if they don't get the rights to do it themselves, practically, we're already not as private as we all think we are.
Yes. The surveillance state is really now.
So it's already happening now. Yes. So let's talk about another very controversial provision, cyber pornography or cyber sex.
Actually, that's my pet peeve. People usually confuse the two.
Yes.
Okay. During the oral arguments, the Solicitor General, Francis Hardilesa, stated that actually the cyber sex provision in the Cyber Crime Prevention Act addresses cyber pornography. Okay, but then Justice Peralta, who's an expert in criminal law, said, "Now wait, now hold on. There's nothing in the law that states that the cyber sex provision, section 1C1, only addresses cyber pornography." Okay. My personal opinion is that people, the authorities are confused when they see cyber sex, the word. Because it's all over the news. Cyber sex den is raided. Cyber sex den. Okay. What's bad there is the den. Okay. A sex den is illegal.
Yeah.
Very much so, in the same way that a drug den is illegal. And during the time when the revised penal code was written, opium dens were illegal. Okay. So instead of focusing on the word den, they focus on the word cyber sex.
Yeah.
As if, well, right now, cyber sex is a crime. Okay. Cyber sex is not a crime the same way as sex itself, as long as it's consensual and nobody gets hurt and they're of age.
Mm.
That means that that sex is not illegal. Hence, cyber sex or sex using information communication technologies should not be illegal, because you're not harming anyone, you're not fooling anyone, and you're already adults. It's only wrong when it goes into child pornography or when it goes to revenge porn. So that's the reason why PIFA is strongly against the cyber sex provision.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there were only two justices that wrote dissenting opinions on that. And these are Justices Scarpio and Justice Leonem. So we're using their arguments
In the motion for reconsideration.
And we're just going to follow their lead.
So in short, cyber sex as a whole is being criminalized.
Yes.
When it should only be a certain small subset, subcategory.
Yes. So the emphasis there is not the sex, okay? The emphasis there is the trafficking, the pornography, the prostitution.
Yeah.
These are evils. Sex by itself is not evil. It's a form of expression.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're going to crack down on pornography or on prostitution, you don't crack down on sex. So you don't crack down on cyber sex.
Okay, let's go back to the e-libel provision again. Mm-hmm. One of the things that made it really bad before was the one degree higher.
Yes.
The punishment would be over a decade. You could be put in prison.
Mm.
And it's harsher for the online crime than on the in-person kind, is this still in the current?
It's still there. As regards the raising to 1 degree higher.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is they related it to this other provision that says that all other laws are subsumed in the cybercrime law, and if you use ICT, information and communication technologies, you raise it to one level higher.
Yeah.
Now, I was looking for this in the decisions and in the concurring dissenting opinions. During the oral arguments, Justice Scarpio pointed out that the provisions on cyber libel or on any type of crime, cyber crime, does not distinguish between a computer that's connected to the internet and one that's standalone, not connected to the internet. Therefore, if you use a word processor to write something, even though you don't post it online, that's still a crime of cyber libel.
Yeah.
So In the words of Justice Carpio, who in this day and age does not use a word processor? So by implication, almost all types of libel is cyber libel.
Cyber libel. Okay. So it's so it gets the maximum or the 1 degree higher penalty.
Yes, the 1 degree higher.
Yeah.
So well, when you you play through a range.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not automatically maximum, but automatically you're 1 degree higher. That's the problem. And there's also one thing that was pointed out by Justice Peralta again. He said it was during the time that he was questioning Congressman Nery Colmenares, who was there at the oral arguments. He told the congressman, "Congressman, you should tell your colleagues at the House that they might not be able to run because if you're slapped with a case that's 10 years and higher, the omnibus election code won't allow you to run." So I'm not sure why they left that out in the main opinion and in all the minority opinions, but I'm thinking that perhaps they really want to see what would happen come election time, because by then only angels will be able to run, because everybody would be filing each other with libel cases.
Yeah, and they still did not change anything regarding the decriminalization of libel, which, you know, it has been called unconstitutional, like libel being a criminal case instead of a civil case.
Justice Leonin was the one that for the total decriminalization.
Yeah.
Justice Carpio said that he just wanted libel not to have that high level of proving the, what do you call that?
Malice.
Yes, the actual malice.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened there is that he said, okay, keep it there. Just make sure that if you're a public official, a public figure, you don't have to follow the actual malice rule. And he was joined in by Justices Brion and Mendoza. So three were for the diluting of the libel provision, and Justice Leonin was for the total scrapping of the provisions in libel and cyber libel.
So far what I'm getting is that this case is far from a good and constitutional case as far as democracy-loving people are concerned. It's improved a lot, like compared to what it was before, but it still doesn't cut it when you care about our freedoms. And there's, of course, a lot of nuances, a lot of things to learn, which is why it's good that you're writing this series for GMANewsOnline.com. The first one is already out,
yes,
and the others will be out
by tonight and tomorrow.
And look forward to that. Keep yourselves aware. Join PIFA at PIFA.ph. This fight is not over. It's very disappointing that a lot of people think that we've already won because of the TRO that's since been lifted, because the decision has came. It is constitutional according
Actually,
to the Supreme.
Yeah, we're not yet sure about the lifting, because
it's not yet.
I was looking for that, but don't tell them that. Don't tell them that the TRO. I think they forgot to say that it's lifted. So if they didn't say it, it's not yet lifted.
Okay, so you heard that here from us. Thank you for watching, and again, PIFA.ph, and check out his series on the cybercrime law, and see you next time.